We end our news stories with the effects of the city's traffic shake-up, and a former depot needs to be demolished and cleared in 2 years. But first, developers hope that a multi-million pound city hotel could open in 2019.
A new multi-million pound hotel in Norwich is expected to open late next year, its developers say. The £10 million Hampton by Hilton Norwich Airport Hotel was granted planning permission by Norwich City Council at the end of 2017. It will be built on Spitfire Road on land next to the International Aviation Academy, which opened last year. It will be just a stone's throw from Norwich Airport's main terminal and will have 126 bedrooms, Hilton said. Xenia Leisure, the developers behind the scheme, said more information would be revealed in the coming weeks, but said they hoped that the hotel would be up and running by autumn or winter next year. A spokesman said, "We are really looking forward to working as part of an ongoing partnership with both the Aviation Academy and the airport. It is likely to be one of the biggest investments in Norwich next year, and will create 40 jobs directly and many more indirectly. There will be lots of exciting developments to come soon."
The redevelopment of a former shop in a Norwich street has breached planning permission, according to council bosses who want to take enforcement action. The former Burrell's Ironmonger shop in Unthank Road closed a decade ago with permission to demolish and replace it with a new building containing a fish and chip restaurant, shop and a flat, granted in October 2016. The old building has been knocked down and a new one built, but Norwich City Council officers said it had not been built in line with planning permission. City councillors will be asked to authorise enforcement action, but a local councillor believes that they should be looking to get the building demolished. Officers say the building has been, quote, largely built to the correct external dimensions and in the correct location, but that there have been a string of breaches. Officers say that windows, which are PVC, are of the wrong size, proportion and style, and that the shop front, which is also PVC, is inappropriate. They say that low-quality red brick roof tiles, other windows, gutters and fascia had not been approved before they were used. Officers had considered whether to ask for demolition, but concluded that would be neither expedient or proportionate. Instead, they want councillors to authorise enforcement action, which will involve painting the brick, replacing the windows and putting in a new shop front.
Council bosses will need to get Norwich's Mile Cross depot demolished, decontaminated and ready for homes to be built on by 2020, or run the risk of having to give the government almost £1 million back. Demolishing Norwich's Mile Cross depot to make way for hundreds of new homes will cost almost £2 million because the site is so contaminated, council bosses have revealed. City councillors agreed to make £1.98 million available for works at the site, where investigations found chemical contaminants such as asbestos, along with low levels of ground gas. Demolition of buildings at the 10.5-acre site off Mile Cross Road would cost an estimated £700,000, but a contamination specialist said a further £1.2 million would need to go on decontamination. The council has yet to decide what to do with the site, but options include selling the site to a private developer, transferring or selling the site to the City Council's own company, Norwich Regeneration Limited, NRL, to build up to 250 homes, transferring part of the site to NRL, with the council hanging onto the rest to build, quote, health and well-being and other community facilities.
Norwich City has forged a partnership with an enterprise body to inspire young people across the region. The football club has joined forces with the Careers and Enterprise Company to become a cornerstone employer, which will see it work alongside other businesses to benefit schools and colleges and inspire the next generation. It would also see it work with a new Anglia Enterprise Advisor Network, a group of volunteers to ensure that young people can connect with the employees at Norwich City and gain vital work experience. The club already delivers resilience training for students in 24 schools around Norfolk and already supports schools with careers guidance and inspiration. Steve Stone, the club's managing director, said, "Norwich City Football Club has a strong commitment to supporting young people and helping to increase social mobility. We are delighted to have the opportunity to join the other Cornerstone employers in leading the development and delivery of the Norwich Opportunity Area Business Plan and encouraging other organisations to become involved in this excellent work, helping young people move successfully from education into work."
The head of operations at one of Norwich's biggest bus operators has said a shake-up to make the city more bus-friendly may have actually slowed its journey times. The Transport for Norwich strategy, a significant programme of work to improve Norwich's roads for drivers, cyclists, pedestrians and public transport users, has seen regeneration in areas including Wesselgate, Tombland, Golden Ball Street and St Stephen Street, among others. Part of the work has focused on improving routes for buses, with several rapid bus transit routes and bus lanes created. And it seems to have had an impact. In 2017, First Buses said they had seen a 500,000 increase in passenger journeys in the previous 12 months, 75% of which were in Norwich. But Chris Speed, head of operations at First, said the shake-up may have had a negative impact on journey times. Mr Speed said, "The City Council has done a lot of work making the centre of the city car-free and bus-friendly, which is a big advantage for us. But of course congestion is just building up around the whole city area, which ends up slowing our journeys down overall." He said, as an example, it meant that while driving a bus would save time driving through a quieter city centre overall, it would lose time because of the extra congestion getting into the centre.
And that's all for this edition of Chatterbox. All the features were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Archant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. You are receiving this recording as you have provided Chatterbox with your contact details. Chatterbox will never provide your data to any other organisation, and we promise to keep your details secure. You can ask to change or delete your data at any time by emailing contact@cbtn.org.uk or by calling 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. When you're finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn the address label over. And there's no postage to pay at all. Don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you have listened to all that interests you. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. Your readers this week were Bridget Cook and James McGarry on part one of the recording, and me, Richard Matthew, with Ree Chakraborty on part two. Stephen Cox was the sound recordist, and Sarah Lusher was the editor. And that's all from Chatterbox this week. So from me, Richard Matthew, goodbye.
And from me, Ree Chakraborty, goodbye.